Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us today. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Now, in today's message, Pastor Ed Young begins a talk entitled May Day. In this message, Repentize, he encourages us to first repent. Some people need help, others need to help. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called Repentize. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. That's the international distress call. It was invented, I read, in 1923, and it was fully adopted in 1927. In fact, it replaced SOS. Mayday, mayday, mayday. My father was in a mayday situation years ago. He was on a very expensive private plane with some pastors, because he pastors a church in Houston, and the plane had problems, serious problems. They crashed in a field right in front of this airport. They all walked away. It was a mayday situation. One of the planes in 9/11 that tragically crashed, if you read and hear and listen to what the pilot said, mayday, mayday, mayday. There's no telling how many times that phrase has been used in different theaters of battle. You're on the sea, maybe you're walking around on land, especially in the air. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Maybe you're in a mayday. Maybe you're in a mayday situation right now. I'm sure in a crowd this size, we have some people, you'd be like, I'm in a marital mayday. I'm in a mayday, Ed, in the marketplace. I'm in a moral dilemma, a moral mayday. Mayday, mayday, mayday. We need help, we need rescuing. When you become a follower of Christ, you have to say pretty much, mayday, mayday, mayday. I need help. I'm crashing, I'm gonna burn. Mayday, mayday, mayday. It's interesting how we have to say that. We have to face the bad news before we hear the good news. Maybe today is your mayday moment. Maybe today is your time. Maybe it's your now. I'm gonna go through and talk a little bit about mayday. I'm gonna argue God's case. I'm gonna tell you why today should be your mayday. Because all of us will face death. All of us have a mayday, mayday, mayday moment when it comes to our mortality. We're gonna face God one day. And some will say, mayday, mayday, mayday. It'll be too late. Others, though, because we've said mayday, mayday, mayday on the right side of the dirt, because we've been rescued by the Lord, we're not gonna say that when our ticket is punched and we face the Lord. So you're in either one of two groups. The book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, tells us the history of the church. Have you ever wondered, why do we have a church anyway? Why churches? The church is the body of Christ. The church began in Jerusalem. It began after Jesus died on the cross for our sins, which happened during the Feast of Passover, when he rose again, which happened during the Feast of First Fruits, And I'm just giving you some background of Leviticus chapter 23, which talks about the feasts on the Jewish calendar. Then we have Pentecost, which is the formation of the church, that feast, and the giving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, though, had to die. He had to rise again. He had to ascend for the Holy Spirit to come. So the model is, for the church, Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, the church went out, and people came in. That's just a basic, simple, not shallow, detailed look, the Wikipedia look at the church. Well, let's get specific and look at the church. Simon Peter preached a sermon. Simon Peter was one of the disciples of Jesus, and he went on record and said, "Jesus, I'll never diss you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And Jesus said, oh yeah, you will. And he did. He cursed. He totally turned his back on Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. Then after Jesus rose again, he reinstated him. Simon Peter became one of the leaders of the early church. So he's just preached this message during the Feast of Pentecost. And Pentecost to the Jews back in Leviticus 23 celebrated when the law was given. Of course, now, those of us who are believers, it's a celebration of the church and a celebration of the Holy Spirit that's been given. So Simon Peter has preached this message, this courageous message. And check out what the people, what the people did. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They were pretty much saying, "Mayday, mayday, mayday. What should we do?" Repent. That's the first thing you said. And be baptized. You don't hear a lot of talk about repentance these days. It's not really popular, even from pastors. It's like, "Oh, your miracle is coming. You've got to have enough faith, and God just wants to bless your life, and he wants to give you this breakthrough." Rarely do we talk, we talk about it here, but I'm talking about Christianity at large, about repentance. I mean, that's not fun. It's not easy. Repentance, it means a change of mind, a change of direction. It's like we have this reception of sin and a rejection of Jesus. Then we repent and we have a reception of Jesus and a rejection of sin. Does that make sense? That's repentance. I change my mind. I change my direction. I say, "I'm not living that way anymore. I'm making a bow face. I repent." Repent. It has to do with reception and rejection. Repentance. Have you repented? I mean, have you repented? Because in the New Testament, when someone repented, when they turned from their sin, boom, they were baptized. So you repented, then you were, boom, baptized. So I made this word up. I made it up today. You ready for this? Repentize. Repentize. You repent, boom, boom, you're baptized. It wasn't like, "Well, I'm gonna wait till next month when Grandma Eva can be here and Uncle John and all my cousins." I mean, that's okay, cool. But back in the New Testament, repentize. You repented, you became a follower of Christ, then you were baptized. Baptism is preaching a sermon. Baptism shows that you are a follower of Christ. Have you, I just got to ask you, have you repented? Have you become a follower of Christ? Have you made that decision? So I want to argue God's case, as I said, about repentance, and I'll get back to baptism in a second, but very quickly, reasons to make this day your May Day. God wants this day to be your May Day. God wants you to say, "May Day, May Day, May Day." Okay, what are the reasons? The urgency of repentance. That's it. Repentance is Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. Repent. Wait a minute, Heather. Are you telling me all I've got to do is change the direction, is to say, you know what? I'm not going to embrace sin anymore. I'm not going to be this person who has this reception of sin and rejection of Jesus. No. I am going to have this reception of Jesus and the rejection of sin. I'm gonna turn away from that. That's right. That's right. It's that simple. It's not shallow. And the reason it's so simple is, can you imagine if this was hard? I mean, it would eliminate a lot of us. The billionaire and the person on welfare both come to Christ the same way. The urgency of repentance. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now! What's wrong with now?
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting The Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
There's some other reasons too. The emergency of termination. Now, this is really scary because Jesus told a story about a wedding, and the point of the story is that you can't become a follower of Christ anytime you want. One day, God will stop pursuing you. Now, you're not going to hear that talked about a lot. That's not going to be on coffee mugs or t-shirts. You're not going to hear worship songs about that. But it's Bible. Once the head of the house gets up, who do you think that is, and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, let me in. Lord, open up. And check out what he's going to say. I don't know where you're from. We can come to a point, friends, where our hearts become so hardened with sin, we're past the point. We're at no return. I don't know when that time is for you. I have no idea. I'm just sharing with you what Jesus said. There is a point, though. You remember back in the Old Testament, for example, when Moses asked Pharaoh, Moses said, let my people go. He said, no. And God sent more and more stuff, more and more plagues, more and more devastation. And finally, the Bible says his heart was hardened. If we continue to reject the love and the grace of God, our heart becomes calloused, and we reach a point where we're done. Again, that's why I would beg you to make this day your May Day. How about this? There's the currency of blessings. I mean, I want these blessings. You're going, what do you mean blessings? Well, most people don't have this list that I'm going to share with you. I'm talking about the blessings of God here. Have you ever thought about this? A clear conscience, purpose, power and strength, life and peace, help with weakness, confidence, fulfillment, security, freedom. Most people don't have those. Now, they try to find them away from God, but most people don't have them. God has them in store for you and me if we repent. Your wrongdoing has turned these blessings away. Your sin has robbed you. Wow. Robbed you. Robbed you of good. Have you repented? Let me ask you again. I mean, have you said, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday? Have you repented? I want to give you an opportunity to repent right now. I want to give you the same opportunity that Simon Peter gave thousands of people that afternoon in Jerusalem when the church began. And if you want to do this, I can't make you do it. Just say these words after me. God, I'm a sinner. I need you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Right now, I repent. I turn from my sin. I change my mind. My direction. I receive you, Christ, into my life. I give you everything I am and everything I'll ever be. Thank you for forgiving me, for cleansing me, for changing me, for adopting me, for giving me a home in heaven. A clear conscience, power in the midst of weakness, purpose, love, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that many of you repented. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, he will save us. Repent. 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 That's it. You did that. But repentize. How about this baptism thing? Now, whenever I talk about baptism, you know, questions arise. And body language. I was sprinkled. Well, my wife was sprinkled as a Lutheran. We have a lot of people at Fellowship Church, you were sprinkled as infants. If you were sprinkled as an infant, lift your hand. I'm sure a lot of people, yeah, okay, cool, good for you. And I'm not saying at all your baptism didn't take. I'm just gonna argue God's position on baptism. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Obviously, it was a Mayday, Mayday situation. Those who, here we go, look at this, accepted, that's the first thing, those who accepted his message, the message of repentance, the message of forgiveness, the message of the gospel, what happened? They were baptized. That's second. Every time in Scripture, you have someone being baptized, first, they said, Jesus, take control of my life. First, they received Christ. Baptismal questions. You've got them. I used to have them too. The first one is the bassinet question. The bassinet question. Should we baptize babies? Great question. Or should we baptize those who are old enough to make a faith decision? Well, let me see. You know, I began to search years ago for infant baptism in the Bible. Surely it's here. I know it's here. The It's not here. I went to seminary and have done doctrinal studies, and I've talked to really bright theologians, and no babies were baptized in the Bible. So when we have a question, we don't say, what does Ed say? Definitely not. We say, what does the Bible say? And that's why we baptize after someone is old enough to make a faith decision. So once again, awesome that you were baptized as an infant. Cool. That was for your parents and a celebration that you're going to be brought up in a Christian home, etc. However, I would challenge you to be baptized the way Jesus tells us to be baptized after you've made a faith decision, which is being immersed underwater. So many people that we've baptized over the years have been sprinkled before. So it's adding to, not erasing what happened. So the bassinet question. All right, the second one, the tide question. Can the waters just clean my sin? No. You can get baptized a million times a day and still bust hell wide open. Oh, the lawyer question. I love this. You know, lawyers love to argue, and I have great friends who are lawyers. They're always arguing, you know. I mean, you can argue about anything. You know what's so funny? I sometimes try to ask lawyers direct questions, like a yes or no question. They won't give you a yes or no. Theoretically, generally speaking, allegedly, I could argue that really, I could argue this is really not technology. I can argue that. Can you be a believer and go to heaven without being baptized? Technically, yes. Yes. You remember the criminal on the cross who became a believer? Jesus didn't say, hey, jump down from the cross and then get baptized. No. Read Hebrews chapter 11, all the men and women of faith, they weren't baptized. So yeah, technically, if you're a lawyer, yes, yeah, you can. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's not Jesus plus baptism. However, if you're able, get baptized. And we've had people over the years, some have been paralyzed, who have entered the waters of believers' baptism. Is that cool? It's unbelievable. All right. The mechanic question. I mean, how should I get baptized? Well, by immersion, because when we have a question, we say, what does the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me, say? And we say, immersion. If you've been sprinkled, spritzed, poured, cool, the way to get baptized is what the Bible says, and that's by immersion. Number five, the Dunkin' Donut. That's right. That's how we baptize. The word baptizo in the Bible means to dunk. Not LeBron James or Zion Williamson dunk. No, no. I'm talking about dunk under the water, because it best illustrates a death, burial, and resurrection. Because when you're under the water, that's your old life. You're identifying with the death, burial, Jesus, and his resurrection. And the water symbolizes the cleansing, the forgiveness of all of our sins. So it's a powerful illustration, public illustration, of a private decision. Scholars tell us that Jesus went 27 miles out of the way, walked 27 miles out of the way just to be baptized by immersion, because there was a shortage of water in certain areas. So, I mean, he was baptized that way. It's pretty important. Every baptism in the Bible was by immersion. Everyone. When you're baptized, you're going to go all the way into the water.
Thank you for being with us today on The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We hope this message has encouraged you to discover the true freedom found in Jesus. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as Pastor Ed continues our series called May Day, and we'll learn about the commitments needed to live a victorious life. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be a part of what God is doing through The Creative Connection. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless.